Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, when spring.
I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning a heavenly dance, oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice, all at once is a gentle and thundering noise, oh God, all that you are so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. I know the power of your cross, given and free, forever you'll be my God. All that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. You are beautiful, you are beautiful, oh God. There is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful, God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful, you are wonderful, oh God. There is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious, you are glorious, oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed.
Family, I just want to very quickly, I know that Joy and Adrian may appreciate this, but I just want to greet you guys the way that I find myself greeting the churches that we went into in Kenya. Jumbo! Mimi ni Ali, Nina Faraha kukutana na wewe, which, and that was it, that's all you get. Most everything else has left me at this time. I think when I was sitting there earlier, I was thinking, well, I do remember Buona Sefiwe. Buona Sefiwe. The only reason I learned that was because it was repeated several times during service. It's praise the Lord. Buona Sefiwe. And basically, I just said, hello, my name is Ali, and it is nice to meet you. And I'm excited that we finally get to do this. When I first got back, you know, we had about a week of normalcy, and then we had storm prep, and then we had the storm. So I know that our hearts have kind of been focused on that and focused on our local relief here, relief within our own homes, within, you know, our family and friends. So thank you for being patient, and thank you for having us and for having Joy and Adrian here today. I want to speak a little bit after they speak about some of the things that I learned, some of the things that the Lord just kind of put on my heart to share with you guys. And basically, when I came and spoke with you several months ago, talking about the trip, and you guys were huge supporters of me and of the trip and of the Wichards, and you gave of your finances, you gave of your prayers, and that was so appreciated. Leah and I attend a Bible study during the week together, and one of the things that we had discussed this past week was when Lori was talking about the importance of having your ministry surrounded by prayer. And so I just want you guys to know that that was a huge covering for us while we were there. I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions like, did you ever feel scared? Did you ever feel unsafe? And I really never did. I always felt safe. I think part of that was attributed to being with Joy and Adrian, who had spent time there the year before. But just in every situation that I was there, I really felt covered the whole time that I was there. I really felt purposeful. I felt led by the Spirit. It definitely was an awakening spiritually for me. Oh, yeah, we've got our stuff going. And I'm very thankful to have had Joy and Adrian go with me. They have been on several missions trips before, internationally included, and they had actually spent about 3 months in Kenya a year or so before. So I was very encouraged to be there with them. They were such a help to me, and they were a good guidance to me. And so I would like to share a little bit in just a while, but I wanted to invite Joy up because Joy was going to go a little bit through our schedule, some of the things that we did there. And I think one of the important things to share with you guys is really what the Lord was doing there while we were there. And I think that she has a good hold on that. So I would like to introduce Joy to come up and speak.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you, and it is so good to hear the testimony of the saints, to hear you come together and to hear you open up your heart about what is going on and where you need prayer, because I feel like prayer is the tool that God has given us to be able to function in this world. And to be able to pray for one another. As Allie said, prior to the trip, when we go out, we're relying on our church families. We're relying on them to pray. Prior to us going, we're relying on them to pray while we're there. And that sometimes sort of people forget the value and the necessity. You cannot do anything without that prayer covering. And so I thank you for that. I can see this is a praying church. Now, before I speak about Kenya, I do want to back up just a little. I was glad to hear Miss Kay speak up today because I know her from my past. And I'll get to that past in just a minute. I'm standing up here, and we're in the house of the Lord, and because of that, I would like to be able to share a scripture, and it's coming from Matthew 14, and I'm sure it's one you are familiar with. Matthew 14:22, Jesus had been preaching on the hillsides, and he sent his disciples ahead of him in a boat and out into a lake. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I was a school teacher at Newport Elementary for 27 years, and my husband worked at the Marine Institute of Marine Sciences. We had a family, we were involved in a church, and we lived life very quietly doing our jobs. 12 years ago, my husband went to Northern Ireland with a group of people from Carteret County to work with a church there. And he came back ready to go out for the Lord, ready to go out with me by his side. And I can tell you, I was like Peter. I had a lot of doubt. And I felt like, how can this happen? Where's the finances going to come from? What do we do when we go out? What is our place in the body outside of our church family here in Morehead City? And then the Lord began to work on my heart. And like Peter, I had to say, if it is you, you just let me know. And he began to let me know. And slowly and surely, I joined my husband. And I got out of that boat. And I began to trust in the Lord. I began to trust in his finances, trust in his body, the people that he surrounds us with here in Morehead City, our prayer warriors, our pastors who speak the word, our home groups that get together and fellowship and study the word. All of that, as it's poured into us, is to enable us to be able to go out to someplace like Kenya and find out in Kenya that the people there who love the Lord are in that same boat with us. They have doubts, they have fears, they have challenges, they have illnesses, they have sickness, and they love the Lord. We go according to God's will for us to be there, and when we're there, we encourage the body, the brothers and sisters. We learn about them. We're able to share in food and fellowship, in the churches, in prayer, and it's an incredible experience, but it's one that when we come back and we look at you, we say, guess what? We were there, but so were you. Every prayer you said in Morehead City went to Kenya with us. Every dollar that you gave in Morehead City went to Kenya and was able to bless the brothers and sisters there. So my job today is to come here and to just tell you what we did in Kenya. And that was the preview. What we did, we left here in July. We arrived in Kenya on a Thursday morning at 6 a.m. We took a day to rest up, and then we left Nairobi in order to drive to the western part of Kenya, which is where we spent the majority of our time. Before we left from Nairobi, though, we met a young lady, a local person from Kenya, who was getting ready to go on a mission the next week. When we were going to be in western Kenya, she was going to be in a place called Turkana. And Turkana is the poorest, the hottest, the most severe place you might be sent if you were in Kenya. And let me just say for a second, because a lot of people think, oh, you went to Africa. Poor you. You had to have been sweating. It's a place where there's lions, tigers, and bears that are going to attack. Well, all of that's not true. In western Kenya, it was a very pleasant 60 to 75 degrees. While you guys here in Morehead were having 99-degree temperatures, we were putting on sweaters and pretending like we were experiencing fall. But the lady that we met right after we got into Nairobi was planning to go to Turkana, and she was going with an organization out of California that specializes in training up people within a country to be missionaries within their country. A concept that is good to hear is going on, but also it encourages me, because we stand in Morehead, and we don't have to go anywhere further than our way home to become missionaries and to be on mission for Christ, to tell others of their hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. So, but this lady was going, so we prayed with her. We were able to talk to her prior to her going out, and then after she had returned to find out how things had been in the part of Kenya that we probably would hesitate and have to say, Lord, it will have to be you calling very loudly, come here, because it is a lot more severe than where we went. We traveled to Western Kenya, and in Western Kenya, the first week there, we were able to work with a beautiful little church, Jordan River Baptist Church. They have a church, they have an orphanage, they have a school for children, primary school, they have a health clinic, and this is one pastor and his wife that run this place. We had been there prior to going this time. We had been there and been able to share a little bit of Christmas with them in 2015. But we went back to do Vacation Bible School, and it was a blast. The children loved hearing the Bible stories, and they especially loved a young lady from here, Allie, as she sang and danced and did sports with them. I was able to teach and to do some crafts with them. So we spent a week at Jordan River doing Bible school. At the end of the week, Allie flew back to Nairobi in order to work with a children's home there, a girls' home. And she spent the weekend working with the girls' home while Adrian and I visited a church that we had been in before, Jesus Celebration Center, and we were able to minister in that church on Sunday morning, as well as to visit with a children's home that we had had a connection with on our prior trip on that Saturday. So we spent the weekend in Western Kenya doing our thing, and Allie was in Nairobi. She came back on Monday, and we packed up and went about an hour and a half, 2 hours from where we were staying the first week. And we were with a pastor that we had again met before. This time, the women in the church had been very busy, and they had planned to do a women's conference for the 63 churches that Pastor Owen oversees. He's a bishop in those churches. The women had planned for their annual women's conference, and they had planned for it to be starting on Wednesday and moving Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from around 9 o'clock till whenever. Now, cool thing about churches in Africa, and Kenya in particular, is the clock just doesn't exist. So if they say, we're going to start church at 9, there will be people there at 8 o'clock singing and praying and getting ready for the service that's going to start at 9. And then the people would begin arriving at 9, but it may be 10 or 11 before everybody gets there. But no problem. It's going to just keep going until forever in the afternoon, maybe 3, maybe 4. So I asked as to when is the conference going to be, what is the time going to be, and it was going to be from 9 to 3 with a two-hour session and then two one-and-a-half-hour sessions. And my next question was, and who will the speakers be? That's a pretty long conference, a pretty long day. And the pastor and his wife said, well, we thought maybe you guys could do it. If you need help, we can find someone to help you. Things work a little different in Kenya from the U.S. So we said, well, let's give us a few minutes. We want to pray, and I think we can do this. And sure enough, we said, yes, we will do this. We'll be your speaker, and our praise person is here with us. They heard Allie praise and sing and immediately decided she needed to do a day of teaching. So, but God has his plan, and if we just listen to him and follow it, we're going to be okay. At the end of that week, Allie went back to Nairobi, and Adrian and I were left to do the Saturday of the conference, and then the big finale on Sunday morning where everyone, men, children, and women came together for that day. Allie returned the following Monday, and we were able to, at that point, take a little easier schedule in that we went to another church and did a youth conference one day, women's conference the next day, and they were so impressed on that youth conference day with Allie and her singing, they decided they wanted to invite the rest of the church. So they got on the phone, called the rest of the church, and on the second day, instead of it just being focused all on women, they broke our group up, and I had the women, Allie had youth, and youth is teenage up into middle 20s, and Adrian got to speak with the men. So that was that day. We spent another couple of days at another couple of children's homes in ministry to children and the Word and in music. At the end of those 3 weeks of pretty intense going, we returned back to Nairobi, and we were able to share with our host in their celebration. Our host family while we were in Kenya is Jared Alaka, which many of you know, and his daughter Dorothy, and Isaac Kimmel, his son-in-law. Dorothy and Isaac were being ordained as deacons within their church, and that was a big celebration on Sunday. We were able to have a few days to relax before returning home, when we were able to go to the Nairobi National Park and the Giraffe Center. So that, in a nutshell, is what we did. My word to you today is to continue with what you have here in the reading and studying of the Word and praising the Lord and in praying for one another, and understand that mission is all around you, that anyone going out to Kenya or another foreign land needs you, and you are part of that team, whether you're there physically or you're right here within this building. And understand, too, that the Lord has a door, or since I started with boat, the Lord has a boat, and we're all in it. And He expects us to take all that He's given us and blessed us with and step out of that boat in order to proclaim His name and recognize who He is. Thank you. This is my husband, Adrian. You could say the instigator of the mission outreach. He is the one who has pushed me and prayed a lot for me.
Good morning. And the reason that Joy comes up first is she is the speaker in our group. My giftings are in helps and encouragement and a prayer warrior. So what I would like to say, usually my role is going out and is either in building or repairing or being an encourager. And this trip was, my role was kind of to sit back and pray, because we were dealing with women's conferences and that's their area of expertise. One thing that happened that was really interesting to us is the praise and worship in Africa is a little bit more livelier than it is here in the States. And when we were there the first time, there was a woman that had a whistle, like a coach's whistle, and she was just blowing that whistle up during praise and worship just to beat the band. And after the service, I told Bishop Owen, I said, you know, I've been in some lively praise and worship, but I've never heard anybody blowing a whistle like that. And he says, well, that's a special case. He said, that lady died, and she was in the hearse on the way to be buried, and the hearse got hit by another vehicle, the person in the other vehicle died, and she came back to life, and she's normal in every way except she lost her voice. And so she blows a whistle in praise and worship. So that was a miracle. And I do enjoy going out and doing missions. In your life point, and my voice is cracking because I've been my sinuses are acting up, and so I'm trying to keep this brief. In your life point vision statement, it says that you want to be the voice, the hands, and the feet of Jesus to our community. I've heard that before. We believe we are to be missional here at home as well as in other countries. After retiring in 2012, I prayed a long time to be Jesus' hands and feet. And one day I heard the Lord say, "What are you doing different?" And that kind of caught me a little bit, and I said, "Well, Lord, I'm not doing anything different. I'm praying to be your hands and feet." And after this, a couple of days later, I was driving down Bridges Street and driving past the health department, and I looked over there, and the CCAT vans were over there. And the Lord says, "You can drive a CCAT van." And so I applied for a job with CCATs, and so I drive for CCATs now. But the Lord has given me opportunity to pray with certain passengers on the bus. He the first time I heard him say, "You pray for this lady." Well, I said a prayer for her under my voice, and he says, "No, I want you to pray for her." And I was taking her to the Carter Surgical. And so when we stopped the bus, I said, "May I pray for you?" And I've never had anybody say no that I've asked if I could pray with them. And so I prayed for her. And it just so happened I was the one that picked her up to take her back home. And when we got to her house, she says, "I want you to pray for me again." And so I knew the Lord was opening a door. And many times since then, I've had the opportunity to pray with people that I would never come in contact with in my former life. And so that's how the Lord is using me missionally here in Moorhead in Carter County. To just say something else about Africa, many of you know Jared Olaka. He was our host, and he is a mighty man of God. In his own in Bungoma, where he lives, there are people that come by his house to thank him, particularly when we're there at Christmas. Even young children would come by and thank him because of the part that he has played in their life in paying their school fees and making sure they can get to school and assisting them. And he's done many projects with wells and getting community things going. So when Jared's supposed to come back this coming summer. So if you see him, you know that he is the real deal and a mighty man of God. That's about all I have to say. So here's Allison.
I feel really honored that I got to go on this trip with Joy and Adrian, just because, again, I'm taken back to a discussion that we had in our group where the leader of our devotional was talking about how important it is to really have preparation, that unbridled passion can be dangerous sometimes, and that if you don't have discipline, if you don't have experience, if you don't have a bridled heart, that you could end up offending somebody. So I feel really fortunate that I was there with Joy and Adrian, because it was a long and very full trip that we had. And so I'm thankful that I had their experience, I had their patience, and I was able to grow and learn from them. One of the things that kind of comes to mind for me to kind of share with you guys a part of the experience that I had was that when we, before we went to Kenya, we had actually only met two, maybe three times. And we had kind of said, this is what we're good at. And Joy and Adrian said, Joy said, I'm good at teaching, I'm good with speaking, the kids, I can do lessons with them. And Adrian said, I'll pray for you. And we said, okay. And then I said, okay, well, my gifts are in the arts, and I can play with kids, and I can spend time with them, and I will teach them songs, and I'll teach them sign language, and we'll dance together. We did, like, VBS-style dance, praise and worship with the kids. I think there's a video up there somewhere of me outside doing stuff like that with them. And that's also one of the things that I would do when I would go back into Nairobi and be in the children's homes. And so that was our plan. We just kind of went our separate ways, and we said, you'll work on that, and then I'll work on this, and when we come together, we'll just trust that it comes together. And sure enough, it did, and I'm very thankful for that. And early on in the trip, Joy started telling me stories about their first time in Kenya, and she was saying, you know, when we first got here, we, if you don't mind me sharing, she had said, we came because we wanted to see if we could live here for an extended amount of time. She, I don't know that you necessarily went for ministry purposes, but she said, we came because we wanted to experience the country. She was considering spending some time as a teacher there. And so she got there, and one of the first or second, or I can't remember the time frame, but she said that she met up with friends that we spent some time with there when we were there recently. And they said, okay, there's a church, let's get out and you can speak. And then it said, okay, we're done here, now let's go to this next church and get out and you can speak. And Joy at that time, I believe you had probably done like children's ministry, but had never done like adult ministry. And in my mind, that was what I had planned to do when I went. I said, okay, I'm going to be doing children's ministry, and my job is to dance and sing and have fun. And then we get there, and everywhere that we went, I would look at Joy and say, what's going to be expected of us when we get here? And she would say, oh, we're just visiting. We're just connecting. This is a family that we met last time we were here. We're just connecting. And we would get there, and they'd say, we planned a 3-day conference for you to do. And we'd get to the next place and say, we planned a 2-day conference for you guys to do. And so we're going, okay. And sure enough, as Joy had described her first experience of being just kind of tossed into the deep end, that was my experience here as well. And I knew that the Lord had prepped me and prepared me for what I was ready for, but then there came being thrown into the deep end of saying, and you heard Joy say it, will you do a full day conference on worship? And I was thinking, no. But one of the things that I ended up being really grateful for, and I don't know how many of you guys had received it, but I had communicated back and forth with Christy while I was here and sent weekly updates while I was in Kenya. And she sent them out on the church newsletter. If you did not get those, you can see me and I can send those updates to you. And you can see a little bit more in detail some of the things that we had done each week that we were there. But I had shared in one of those emails that I was, like, I knew about being in a third world situation, but I didn't really know. I didn't really know what it was to actually have nothing. To the first school that we went into, the orphanage that we spent the first week doing VBS, the children were wearing the same outfits that they had worn all week, that they had worn to bed, that they had played soccer in for 2 hours the day before. They had worn them all week. You go into their rooms and they have bunk beds, and half the bunk beds don't have mattresses, and that's about it. There's not a second pair of clothes. There's not another toy lying around somewhere. There's not a dresser somewhere with clothes. There's not a box somewhere with toys. And so I really started to learn what it was to have nothing, and also what it was for them to give everything that they had for us. Because just like we would host somebody and we would offer our best, you know, maybe offer the best meal that we could cook or the best bed in the house. They were doing the same for us, but it still was different from what you would experience here in the States. You still, the best that they had was still just different from what we have here. And so it definitely pushed me and stretched me outside of my comfort zone. Just to share one experience, I think there was a lunch that we ended up coming back home and they weren't prepared for us for lunch. Typically everywhere that we went, they had someone who was in charge of meals and prepping these incredible meals for us. You saw some plates of food where it was like we ate really well while we were there. But this one meal, we ended up back home for lunch, and I don't think that they were prepared for that, so they served us white bread for lunch, and that's what we had, which was fine. We ate it, and I'm so thankful. Like I said, I'm thankful for their heart in that they were able to guide me through the situation, but it essentially pushed me outside of my comfort zone more than I have ever been pushed here, obviously. And for the first week, I was a little like, you know, sometimes you have these thoughts in your mind, like, why would I be here when I have the opportunity in America to be in my warm, comfortable, cozy bed, and you have the opportunity to drive 5 minutes up the road, and you can have pretty much anything you want to eat, and you can pick out whatever clothes you want to pick out for the week, and you kind of have some of these thoughts. And I remembered once I put my mind in a Kenya mindset and not in an America mindset, then I was able to get over it fine. Everything was good. But in retrospect, I ended up being really thankful that the Lord had pushed me outside of my comfort zone physically, because I really feel like if we had been staying like at a 4-star hotel and someone would have come up to me and said, "Will you preach a whole day on worship?" my heart would have said, "Nope." I would have been like in way too cushy of a place for that. So I ended up being really thankful that the Lord had pushed me outside of my comfort zone in a physical way, because I really do believe that the physical and the spiritual reflect one another, whether it comes physically first or it comes spiritually first, and then there's a reflection in the other realm. And so I was thankful for that. I was thankful that things had kind of been stripped down for me, because then I really feel like I was able to rely on the Lord and trust in Him more. And so then when they had asked me to speak, I was able to say yes and feel more comfortable about it, because it's kind of one of those situations where you say, sure, why not? You know, it's like you don't really have any other reservations holding you back, because you're just kind of stripped down to nothing. And so I'm thankful for that. It was an interesting experience for me teaching. I don't know, Dad, how you do it every single Sunday for, you know, like an hour. It's hard. I felt really thankful because I told Joy, I said, I don't think I can do 5 hours, I think it was. I said, I don't think I can do 5 hours. I said, but I'm really going to try and do 2. And Joy, of course, was gracious. And she said, that's okay. I'll take care of whatever you don't fill in. And I thought, okay. And then I remembered there's a translator. So it was like whatever I had planned, it would take twice as long. So I knew that would save me and spare me for my first time preaching in front of anyone. I thought, okay, I don't have to have a whole lot, because, you know, it'll take twice as long to get through it. But sure enough, I think I maybe made it 2 hours. But it was an incredible experience, and like I said, I just wanted to share with you guys that it's really important to have a prayer covering here back home, just in regards to like in regards to covering me in a situation like that, because like I said, an unbridled passion can be offensive, can be dangerous. And so I was thankful that there was a covering over me, that there was an example there for me. And I'm thankful that you guys just came on board. I know that it can be difficult when you don't really know a whole lot about what is going on. But I learned that in Kenya, that's just the way that it is. It's hard to know ahead of time what's going on. And now we can really attest to that. I can't tell you how many places we showed up and we were it. We were the speakers. We weren't visiting, we were it. So if you have any additional questions, please come to see me at any time. I'd be more than happy to talk with you about anything. But I appreciate you guys giving us the time today and allowing us to share about our trip. Thanks.
Thank you, Allison, and thank you, Joy and Adrian. It's a pleasure to have you guys this morning sharing with us. Just going to conclude with a couple of Bible verses. And, you know, one of the things that they have mentioned as well as taught us today through their work and through their trip to Kenya is simply this. We need to be moving our feet. We need to be moving our hands. We need to be moving our lips for Jesus. And I'm reminded of what Paul wrote the Romans when he said in Romans 10, 14 and 15, these are familiar verses to us. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist, as the cliche goes, to realize that if we've ever been in a time, both in this country and abroad, where we needed good news, it's today. That's our job. We are to be purveyors of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we close this morning, I'm going to ask our praise team to come, and we're going to have our time of invitation. And maybe the thought that has been impressed upon my heart this morning is one that has been impressed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit, and that is we need to be the feet, we do need to be the hands, we do need to be the lips of Jesus. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning about doing that, or exploring new ways of doing that, sharing in that way, then we're going to have this time for you to be able to come and say, God, I just want you to use me. If there's a physical need here and you want to come and be prayed over, I'm going to ask our elders to come join me up here as well. And if you will, stand as our praise team comes and as we close our service this morning. However the Holy Spirit has led you, would you come this morning as God speaks and ministers to your heart right now? Let's pray as our praise team comes and as we prepare for this time. And elders, I'm going to ask you to come, Brother Gary. If you guys will come, Brother Joe, let's come together. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, if you want to come, then we ask you to come at this time. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you so much for the Spirit of God that dwells among us. Thank you, Father, that we can see your hand at work. Lord, sometimes it's easy to put on the blinders and just be consumed or obsessed about what God is doing right here in our own particular location. But Father, thank you for broadening our scope today. Thank you for making us aware of what you are doing, not just here, but all across this world. We are reminded of what Henry Blackaby teaches us about God being at work all around us and coming to that crisis of belief where we have to decide whether we're going to walk on that water, get out of that boat, or whether we're going to try to stay safely and securely in that safe place. God, I pray that you would call our hearts to greater things, to larger things than just riding in the canoe. But Father, call us out into the waters. Call us out, God, to where we are trusting you. We are hoping in you. We are asking you to do great, wonderful, and miraculous things, things that we have dared not even to ask about or pray for, but God, see them flowing through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, we just pray that you would bless this time together as we close this service and this time of invitation. May your Spirit move, for we ask it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as our praise team leads us, if God has spoken your heart or led you to come, we ask you to come at this time.
behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
If you will, Leah, just play softly. I'm not trying to draw the service out, but I think the Lord spoke into my wife's heart this morning, and I want to just convey to you, a lot of us have a lot of things going on, don't we? We've heard a lot this morning, by the way, of cancer and sickness and work and life stressors. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, would you just come and let's just, you know, Jenny made a great point. Sometimes we pray for peace, and sometimes God gives us peace from the storm that we're in, and sometimes He just gives us peace while we're in the storm. And I think it's okay to pray for both. We need to pray that the storm will be stilled, that God would show Himself marvelous, that God would show Himself strong, sometimes it's not His will. We have to be honest. We know that it's not His will always to calm the storm. But I think we can always say that it's God's will to calm the sailor. And so we have a couple of ladies that have come this morning that are seeking anointing and prayer over them. Erica comes because of the cancer that she's facing. Susan comes because she wants to be anointed on behalf of her dad, her father-in-law, who they are fearing has cancer. And then Shelly is here. And is there anyone else? I'm going to ask you to just gather in close as you can, as close as you want to. And just reach out, take a hand, put a hand on a shoulder. But God's word tells us that when we come to Him, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we hope, dream, or think of. And so, Erica, we pray for you. And Shelly, we pray for you. And Susan,